Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Carla Campbell. I'm your host for today to discuss some of the latest things that have topics that have come up recently. I decided today that I wanted to discuss the effects of shaming and how shaming children. I know it's become a huge tool that parents are using to shame their children on social media, defining creative ways by way of YouTube, TikTok. And I know that maybe a couple of months ago I was talking about social media and the harm of social media and the psychological effects it has on our society. But what caused me to consider this topic is because of a video that I watched. I believe it was on the Steve Harvey show. There was a father who wanted to teach his daughter a lesson. But the beauty of that lesson was he did not shame her on public public media. He didn't put her on social media to shame her or anything like that. He discovered that his daughter was involved with the bullying of a 13-year-old, you know, teasing her about her hair, teasing her about her clothes. And the father approached his daughter regarding this situation and said to her, even though you weren't the lead person bullying this young lady, but the fact that you laughed, the fact that you was there and you didn't stand up for this young lady, you're just as guilty. And so the father decided to teach his daughter a lesson about bullying. And he told her, he said, you never know what people are going through. So he decided that instead of taking his daughter shopping like he normally would do, take her shopping once a month, I believe he said once a month or twice a month, he would take his daughter shopping. And so this time, as punishment, to teach her a lesson, teach her that this is the difference here. He's not shaming her, but he was teaching her a lesson that I will not shop for you. I will not take you to the mall, but I will take the young lady that you and your friends bullied. So the beauty of that story is that he also wanted his daughter, he told his daughter that she was going with him to go shopping for this young lady. And through that process, he became a father figure to this young girl who didn't have a dad, to this young girl who was living with her mother, single parent home, whose family couldn't afford to buy her clothes or get her hair done. So the father, this father took it upon himself to bless this young lady with the shopping spree and take her shopping with his daughter, and the daughter did not receive anything. His daughter was there so that she could participate in showing and knowing how to show empathy to people, because you never know what a person is going through. So I thought that was a really beautiful example of a father. He didn't shame his daughter, but he taught his daughter a valuable lesson about bullying, that you never know what a person is going through, and you don't judge a person simply because they don't have what you have, or simply because their dress or their clothing or their hair is not up to par. You don't do that. Now, that story was really inspirational to me. And if you want to watch it, it was actually on the Steve Harvey Show. So, and this father also invited this young lady to the father-daughter dance that he would normally take his daughter to. And so now he was bringing his daughter and this young lady to the father-daughter dance. I thought that was a wonderful example, and I'm quite sure his daughter learned a valuable, very valuable lesson about bullying people and judging people and laughing and making fun of others. So that story was very powerful, and so it caused me to think about the growing trend in social media in which parents are publicly shaming their children on social media. And some of it has really gone a little bit too far. There was a story of a gentleman who was criticized for what he did to his 10-year-old daughter. The father, Matt Cox, knew he would be criticized when he forced his 10-year-old daughter to walk 5 miles to school in 36-degree weather as her punishment for being suspended from the school bus twice for bullying. And the video quickly garnered over 15 million views. Although some online comments called him a bully, most comments were from parents and educators and others who wholeheartedly supported his actions, that he made his 10-year-old daughter walk 5 miles to school. I'm not being, I'm not trying to belittle what he was doing, but I mean, there are people who have to walk 5 miles to school. but in this case here, that was her punishment for bullying, is that okay, and being suspended from the bus because of her bullying. So there were many parents who supported it. It even states that Cox's video is just one of many in an emergent trend of parents who publicly shame their children on social media as punishment. For instance, another father recently posted a video holding his son's hand and walking with him as a couple through the middle school hallway as punishment for his misbehavior at school. In November, a New Jersey mother dressed as a clown and visited her son's classroom to shame him for acting up in class. The boy's principal, who calls himself Mr. Viral Principal, uploaded a video of the visit on Instagram. And in March, a father posted a video of his 10-year-old son running a mile to school in the rain because he had also been banned from the bus for bullying. So, look, parents are finding other alternatives and ways to garner their children's attention to their behavior or misbehavior. It says, while parents who made these videos and the many viewers who praise them may think the videos represent an effective way to discipline children, as a scholar who teaches child development and researches the psychology of social media, according to the article by this author, the author believed the evidence suggests otherwise, that it's not a good idea to do that. Also, for media shaming of children, how responsible parents can help. Forget sociological and cultural strides in modern society. Public shaming is back with a vengeance, and social media is the new public square. While adults certainly fall into the purview of media shaming, it is children at the hands of their own parents who are the growing victims. Media shaming in the news is becoming very popular. Parents who are shaming their children are garnering a number of views. This is a form of public, when we're publicly shaming children, the viewers are many. I mean, it's larger. It's larger than just a handful of people. We're talking millions of people. And sometimes those videos are not removed. Sometimes those videos stay for years. And so can you imagine what that does to the individual? So does it work? Does public shaming in terms of media, social media, public shaming period is not, in my opinion, not a good thing to do. But shaming your child as a means of punishment through social media, is that a good thing or is that bad? Is that a wise thing to do? There was a parent, as a matter of fact, right here in this city, a mother posted a video on Facebook publicly shaming her 13-year-old daughter for posing as a 19-year-old wearing only a bra and lacy panties. In the five minute 41-second video, the mother states, "Don't cry now. He wasn't crying when you was posting pictures on Facebook, was you?" Some little girl in some lace panties that you know you don't own. You still wear panties that say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Within less than a week, the video had been viewed 9 million times and was shared approximately 300,000 times. The mother was wildly supported. On social media, topping out at 5,000 friends. So what do we say to that? What can we say to that? Is this a wise thing to do or not? And some people would say, maybe not. Also, there was a 13-year-old, and this was widely in the news, who had been struggling with depression and bullying, killed herself just days after her father publicly shamed her on YouTube. Similar to the example above, the youth had taken selfies wearing a sports bra and leggings and sent the image to a boy at school, and having forbid the use of social media for his daughter, the father took to social media platform himself to teach her a lesson, and he videoed himself cutting off her hair, her long hair, as punishment. The video went viral at school, and school officials became aware of the video, and Child Protective Services were called in. While it is impossible to know the details that led to her suicide, a deeply humiliating public shaming may have contributed to her death. So these are just examples of how public shaming can backfire, how public shaming can be a bit too much, overdone. Cruel and unusual punishment, as some would say. So there are countless other young people who are facing this form of flogging, because that's pretty much what it is, flogging, in the public sphere. So we can talk about what are the dangers of shaming children on social media. There are parents that are also using this as a means to punish toddlers. I mean, I don't get it. To me, it's a bit much, because that is something that can come back a year, 2 years, 3 years. It will never leave. Even if it is deleted, it's already out there. And what happens to the child when he gets older? He's not only going to remember that situation, but they're going to also be reminded, or it could come back and haunt them and trigger all that again later on in life. So the dangers of shaming. Is it a good idea to do that? Humiliating children under any circumstance is unacceptable. And this is according to Psychology Today. And this is where I'm getting my information from, Psychology Today, with regards to the psychological effects of shaming children. And I'm quite sure that some of us can even go back to our own childhood to even think about a time in which you were shamed. Social media may not have been around, but maybe you were shamed in public, or maybe you were shamed at school, or maybe you were shamed at church. And it was a means to get you to stop doing what you were doing, right? So what are the dangers of shaming? Humiliating children under any circumstances is unacceptable. These harmful acts inflict severe emotional pain, and the outcome is shame. Shame is crippling to the human spirit. Clinical psychologist Gershon Kaufman, PhD, states shame is the most disturbing experience that a child can ever have about themselves. No other emotion feels more deeply disturbing, because in the moment of shame, the self feels wounded from within. So shame has long-term effects that influence literally every area of a child's life. So what can we do? What is it that we as parents can do? What are the alternatives to shaming in order to discipline our children? What would be a better and a more effective way? What can concerned parents do? Social media has created this voyeuristic society. I mean, this society is... I mean, people go on YouTube, just streaming through YouTube from one video to the next, just to garner attention, to find things that are entertaining. And so at that very moment we view a video, we find abhorrent. We are indeed part of the problem. So if we watch it over and over and over again, we become a part of the problem. We have become bystanders and spectators, accustomed to expressing our like or dislike merely in terms of a virtual thumbs up or down, or through a dissenting comment, criticizing parents via social media. Communications and mechanisms is not enough. Parents need to be proactive. It is our collective preoccupation with social media that has provided the critical mass for 21st century public shaming. It will be through those same collective efforts that we will be able to put a stop to it. So there are those from the social community, the psychological, the psychology of shaming, who are against it, who say that it is a dangerous practice to shame your child on social media. So when we happen to see videos that are offensive with millions of views, we need not only flag them as objectionable content, but identify them for what they are, and that is child abuse. According to the psychologist today, it's child abuse. Facebook and YouTube have ways to report materials. However, site users need to demand a system for flagging videos that contain child abuse in the form of public shaming. Measures and guidelines need to be enacted to perform a fast-track view of those videos. So this is something that people are calling out to develop a protocol as to how parents are shaming their children on social media, and how it is affecting the child in the long run. We talk about bullying in terms of social media bullying, whether it be on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. We talk about bullying. We talk about, you know, how we can avoid that, how we can protect our children from it. But it's a different beast when we're talking about parents who are actually doing this to their children. Now, some people would say some of this approach works for some children, because some children get the message. But I have to go back to the father who was on Steve Harvey's show, who didn't publicly shame his daughter. He merely taught her a lesson to be empathetic of others, because you never know what they're going through. He simply took something away from her and rewarded and gave it to the person to which she was bullying. Now, I believe that that message and that approach was way more effective. He could have put her on blast on Facebook. He knew that his daughter was not the leader of the bullying. Nonetheless, she participated. So he took it upon himself to teach her that you don't treat people like that. So what do we say? And what are our thoughts about how children are being disciplined? Is social media shaming a good form of discipline to put your child through a process of shaming and then to air it on to social media? It's one thing to teach them a lesson, but it's another thing when you now put it into the public sphere. I think it's a bit much. That's just me. But people are finding that entertaining at the expense of someone having their spirit broken. And so what are some of the tools that we can give to parents to find other means or other ways of disciplining? I know that it's different in different places and different cultures and different ways in which, you know, children are being developed, raised. But we're living in a day and time in which social media is huge. So what do we do with that? Here from the psychological effects of shaming children, the risk of public shaming holds for parents. The news of the young lady who killed herself after her father cut all her hair off. And later on, they discovered that there was more to the story than what happened, that the fact that this young lady had other issues. But cutting all of her hair and putting it on Facebook and putting it on YouTube just pushed her over the edge. The news of a teen girl's apparent suicide after a public shaming incident starts the summer off on a somber note, and parents everywhere should take notice. The girl was shamed by her father in a video which shows her hair being chopped off, and I mentioned that earlier, right? The video was uploaded onto YouTube, and days later, the girl jumped. And here in this article, they're addressing the fact that it wasn't just the fact that she was shamed publicly on YouTube, but the fact that she suffered from depression. She already had some social and emotional dysfunctions in her life. And the father was not sensitive enough to that. The father was not being sensitive to what his daughter was going through before he did that. So parent shaming of his child, the father who shamed his child, basically had to answer a lot of questions with regards to his approach, with regards to his behavior, which troubles this father to this day about what he did to his daughter. So it's not just the effect of the child, it's also the effect of the parent. Because I am quite sure he didn't expect his daughter to commit suicide. And especially in this day and age in which teen suicide is on the uptick. It's higher than it's ever been. Each situation with regards to shaming children is uniquely different, and there are infinite number of factors, many of which may never be entirely known or understood. For any parent who is dealing with how do I discipline my child, what are some of the more beneficial ways, more productive ways that I can discipline my child without publicly flogging them on social media? According to Psychology Today, it is no doubt what most parents who inflict shame on their children are trying to do is raise their child's consciousness of the potential consequences of their actions. In behavioral terms, shaming would be considered an averse technique. Basically, the principle is that the shame is a negative consequence of an unwanted behavior. So when the person avoids doing that behavior in the future because of the adverse outcome, but the painful feelings of that shame unleashes in a young person's mind are the real problem. And many children, their feelings are magnified well beyond the proportions of us adults who have perspectives and more years. Shame in particular is felt keenly by any human, and so its magnification can be exponential in children and teens. The sheer weight of these feelings can be too heavy and too unrelenting. A child or a teen doesn't understand that these feelings will get easier and even end at some point. So shaming runs the risk of being far out of proportion with the behavior that the parent is trying to stop. And that's because embarrassment, which is something we all try to avoid, we all try to avoid being embarrassed. Some people dream and fear it so much that it can be incapacitating for a person to even move forward to do anything because they don't want to be embarrassed. It's largely defined by the individual, largely defined by what that person has been through in their life. It's impossible to externally control it. So what are some options for discipline that parents can use instead of shame? This is something that we need to consider. What are some tools and techniques that we can use that will give us a better outcome, a more positive outcome, in which we are empowering our children and not disarming our children, where they know that and feel that they're respected and that they're loved, but yet at the same time learning, okay, this lesson is teaching me that I shouldn't disrespect others. This lesson is teaching me to respect everybody. This lesson is teaching me to be empathetic of other people's feelings. How do parents do that without jeopardizing the spirit of their own child? And so according to Psychology Today, and I'm going to, I believe there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 suggestions that Psychology Today imposes or suggests to the parent. So one is The first one is allow the natural consequences of the actions to manifest instead of the contrived consequences that occur through shaming. Often the parent doesn't even need to do anything. Just monitor the situation to help your child understand how the unpleasant things that are happening are connected to their actions, meaning these are the consequences of your actions. When you decide you're not going to behave on the school bus, and now the consequences are you've been suspended. Hey, this is what's going to happen when you don't follow the rules. That's why I didn't have a problem with the father having his child to walk to school. Walk to school. Walk the 3 to 5 miles every day so that you can understand these are the consequences. Now, that is without putting it on social media, that that lesson is being learned just simply through that consequence, without shaming, without putting it on social media so that they can know it. But it's a situation in which they're learning a valuable lesson about behavior. Walking in 36 degree weather for 3 to 5 miles to school because you were suspended. So allow the natural consequences. Number two, positive reinforcement of the behavior. You do want to see, it's hard in the heat of the moment for a parent to stop and focus on other behaviors, especially when it seems there's a problem. However, being able to reinforce those positive behaviors later during the day or that day or the next will have an effect and will pay dividends in the future. The positive reinforcement on a regular basis, positive reinforcement from situation to situation, and also depending on the age of the child. So we also have to consider that too. Number three, parents should not neglect to enforce limits consistently. If your child broke a rule, a negative consequence that is immediate, specific, and within the context of the problem is appropriate to undertake. Take care not to overreact out of frustration. That's kind of hard. Some parents find that difficult when you're in the middle of something that is really, really troubling. So parents automatically react, not give it time to calm down and then come back and say, okay, look, this needs to be dealt with immediately. And especially when it's a behavior that is where the consequences could be a life or death situation because the child made a bad choice or a bad decision. So that is important to know. Number four, act like a coach. It can be hard with teens, but you take them aside and privately explain that some of their behaviors are concerning. Being very specific, you may be able to walk them back on their heels and make them think about how to behave differently next time. Doing this in private is important because your teen needs to be able to hear and consider your words without the fear of losing face with their peers, which is another reason why public shaming can backfire, especially when it's teenagers who are with their friends. And I think that's the whole point why some parents do it, because it's like, okay, well, if he's not going to listen to me, well, this is what, I'm going to teach him a lesson right here in front of everybody. And for some, that may work. And then for others, it could backfire. Here's number five. Revisit priorities and potentially disengage from behaviors that are out of control. Take a step back and consider whether behavior you're worried about is really that worrisome. Now, do not get it wrong. There are plenty of teen behaviors that are and should be concerning to parents. but there are also many stupid things that teens do simply because they are teens and they are still learning their way through life. Recognize that teens are establishing their independence from parents and family, which is a perfectly normal and healthy process. While teens may miss the mark at times, allow them increased independence where you can help satiate that normal and natural yearning. Now, I get all that, okay? So, the whole development, the emotional and mental development of teenagers, I get that. But there are times when you really need to shake up your teenager and really get a hold of them so that they are truly attentive and hearing what is being said. Sometimes when teenagers are with their peers, those are the last ones they want to be embarrassed by. And so I see why some parents use that opportunity or that situation to teach their child the lesson. So that's going back to what he was saying about public shaming in front of their peers, in front of their friends. And here's number six, insist on apologies and restitutions when appropriate. If your teen's behavior causes harm or inconvenience to another, then a follow-up apology and restitution should always be implemented. Saying sorry, making it right, forfeiting allowances to repair or replace something, all of these forms of restitutions are natural consequences as well and can reinforce that this behavior should not be repeated. And so that goes back to the first story that I mentioned about this father on Steve Harvey's show who actually took the time out to pull his daughter aside for bullying another girl, even though she wasn't the leader in that bullying, but she was guilty by association because she laughed and she participated. So the father took away that which was that meant a lot to her, and that was going shopping. You know, her father would take her to the mall and go shopping, but he said, nope, I'm not doing that this time. We're going to take the young lady that you bullied, that you laughed at, and I'm going to take her shopping. And you're going to come, but I'm not buying you anything. And so he used that as a teachable moment for his daughter to learn a valuable lesson about being empathetic of others. And even though you may see your peers laughing at others, you yourself will now begin to think, okay, well, I'm not going to participate in that. I'm going to stand up for this young girl. And I believe according to the story, the father's daughter, his daughter, began to stick up for this young lady in school and began teaching her how to stand up for herself. And work. So I thought that was a beautiful story. And this suggestion with regards to apologies and restitutions is a great example of that. And so I applaud that father for doing that. He didn't publicly shame her. He didn't put it all on Facebook. But it was a lesson that he needed to teach her so that she wouldn't do that again. And the fact that he invited this young lady to the father-daughter dance that he sponsors every year. And so now he's bringing his daughter and the young lady who was bullied to the father-daughter dance. So he became a father figure to this young lady. And I'm quite sure his daughter is very proud of what her father's done and what he's taught her in that process. So the harmful effects of shaming can be long-lasting, but it's always a parent's instinct to want to stop or reverse their child or their teen's bad behavior. Fortunately, those instincts can be fulfilled in other ways while still allowing the teen to slowly increase independence. Those tactics should be seen as long-term parenting investments and thus may take a bit more time to take effect, but that doesn't mean they aren't as potent as a public shaming. The benefit is that they don't carry with them the harmful effects that shaming often has. And the positive aspects will last long into the future. And I can tell you for a fact that shaming in public or shaming a child in public, that stays with them for the rest of their life. Whether it's a teacher who's shaming, whether it's a parent who's shaming, that experience will remain with them for the rest of their lives. Here where it talks about why punishment fails, the notion that public shaming will work goes against research about the relative effectiveness, or rather ineffectiveness, of punishment as a means of changing behavior. So there is a study that has been done on what shaming can do and what the long-term effects are, the long-term psychological effects and behaviors in children who are shamed in public. Also, their parents are also being pulled to the side by, you know, the child welfare. When people discover these things on YouTube, and they actually, some parents are reported for doing this to CPS, Child Protective Services. So parents really need to be careful in how they are punishing or disciplining their children on social media. So we have to find other ways and other alternatives. But I just thought that I would share that information because that story was so inspiring to me. And I thought to myself as a parent and my growing up, how public shaming can have devastating effects on a child. So anyways, I hope that this information was effective, was useful. When we're on TikTok or when we're on Instagram and we see these things, what do we do? How do we respond to that? How do we respond to that form of punishment? There are times when we look at the situation and we see what's going on with the story at hand. For example, the young lady who was just exposing herself on Facebook and claiming to be 18, 19 years old, when in actuality she was only 15. And so her mother took it in her own hands to do that to her. So we have to sit back and as an audience and think about, was that good? Was that appropriate? Many would say, hey, wait, spot on, Mom. That's absolutely right, Mom. And then there are others who will say, oh, wait a minute, you know, that's going too far. So how much is it, you know, when we go too far, how much is too far? But according to psychologists, we shouldn't do it. That's something that we shouldn't do. So anyway, so I'm going to wrap it up. And I hope that this information was helpful. I hope that we as parents will take that time out to think before we respond or react. What is the best way? What are the alternatives to our disciplining our children in the 21st century? Because we are living in a totally different generation versus those of us who, you know, pretty much grew up in the 20th century. We're in the 21st century and it's a different generation. We have a lot of technology. We have access to information at the drop of a dime. We have AI at the drop of a dime. And so these are things that we need to take into consideration as we are raising our children in this volatile times in which we live. So therefore needing to use wisdom and prayer and asking our Heavenly Father to give us the wisdom that we need to raise children in this day and age. So, anyways, I'm going to close out. Peace and blessings to all of you. And have a good night.